turn today to Matthew chapter 7. This, of course, is a portion of the longest recorded sermon of Jesus Christ, known as the Sermon on the Mount. The sermon must not be viewed merely as a code of ethics or morals, though it certainly presents such. Must not be merely viewed as a list of rules and regulations, but should be viewed as a way of life for the honor, for the glory of the Lord. In fact, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, we see Christ correcting the view that reduces living to the realm of the mechanical. Throughout the sermon, Christ is emphasizing the right spirit, the right attitude, and obeying the laws of God, a right spirit and attitude in serving Him. He is reminding us that our spirit and attitude toward the laws of God and our manner of serving Him is not to be reduced to the rote or the merely mechanical. That our life for Him is not to be mindless, like robots, nor should it be simply from memory. In the Sermon on the Mount, He is giving us a description of what life ought to be for you and I that are saved. He is telling us to live in the reality of God, to live in the enjoyment of the Lord. Here in Matthew 7, He lays down a precept that we want to consider this morning, and that's in verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. This is certainly one of the best known sayings of Christ. Many, in fact, will make reference to it without even knowing that it is Jesus who spoke those words. What we read here, of course, is widely known as the Golden Rule. The phrase, the Golden Rule, began as the Golden Law in the late 17th century in England and was gradually changed to the Golden Rule. The idea was that gold is a superior and valuable item, and what is said here is a superior and valuable moral principle. That's the thought process behind titling this the Golden Rule. And certainly it is, in that regard, a golden rule, but may I say, so is everything else that God says in His Word. It's all a golden rule. I remember hearing, and I wasn't sure if it was so I looked it up. But in 1902, James Cash Penny, J.C. Penny, and William McManus started a general merchandise store by the name of Golden Rule. That was the name of the store. It was their belief that success would come by treating customers as they wanted to be treated. And they believed that concerning their employees as well, and referred to them as associates. Well, by 1912, there were 34 Golden Rule stores. And then J.C. Penney bought out the other gentleman, William McManus, 1913. And the name was changed to J.C. Penney. That's just a side note. It really doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about. But what Jesus states here in Matthew 7, verse 12, is a principle that, if practiced, would turn the business world upside down, if it were practiced. What is stated here, if practiced, would revolutionize, would transform every aspect of our lives. The entire world would be different if Matthew 7, verse 12, were practiced. It is a principle that would make everyone's life better. I mean, just take ourselves, take all the people in our circle, and if Matthew 7, verse 12 were practiced, every one of our lives would be better. This isn't something that's going to hurt you in any way. Matthew 7, verse 12. It is a principle that would no doubt make our life better. It would make our life more of a joy if everyone, again, we can limit it to just everyone in our circle, what a joy life would be. So we're going to speak this morning. We'll just entitle the message, The Golden Rule. First of all, I want to consider the general teaching of what is said here. Again, it is stated, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. These words are more than words of guidance. They're certainly words of guidance, but they're more than that. In these words, Christ states a principle of action. He states a mode of life regarding others. In these words, Christ gives one simple precept for the regulation of our conduct toward others. He simply says, put yourself in another's place and then act toward them as you would desire that they act toward you under the same circumstances. In other words, treat others, think of others as you would expect and want to be treated by others. That's simply what he's saying. So if we are in a quandary as to how we should behave toward others, here's the answer. Matthew 7, verse 12. That seems very simplistic. But we all know that there's nothing simple about what is said here. Because of our nature, it's not in us. It's not in us by nature to practice Matthew 7, verse 12. So let's consider several things concerning the general teaching of this verse. First of all, there is a basic reminder. The reminder is this: there are other people. There are other people. Matthew 7, verse 12 gives us that reminder. There are other people. To put it in another way, I am not the only one. We have that reminder in Matthew 7, verse 12. Now, that is a very elementary reminder, but a very necessary one. In this age and society and culture that is characterized, and it gets worse by the hour, characterized by gross selfishness, gross self-indulgence, self-service, self-will, self-seeking. In the midst of all that, we have this reminder. We are not the only one. There are others. That is a very necessary reminder. In this day of absolute fixation and obsession with self, children need to be taught, you are not the only one. There are others. We all need to be reminded of that. The reminder that there are others is necessary, is very necessary, because of the egocentric attitudes that prevail today. There are others. In the midst of raging narcissism, this is a very necessary reminder. We live in a narcissistic world. We live in a narcissistic culture. And it has gotten so bad that it is even promoted. And children are being raised by narcissistic parents who teach their children to do and be the same. So we need this reminder. There are others. In an age and a society and a culture when it is everyone for themselves, and basically the law of decency has been replaced or displaced by the lawlessness of the savage, that's what we have today. Just sit in a mall and observe. Unbelievable. And we are in a day when good manners, children are not taught good manners because mom and dad don't possess good manners. But here we are in a day when good manners, for the most part, are a thing of the past. And people resemble the hogs at the trough, or hungry dogs fighting for a bone. We need this reminder. There are other people. There are other people. Around here you don't do it as much, but you go downtown Chicago, get on a bus or a train. It's like hogs at the trough. It's like dogs fighting for a bone. It's unbelievable. People don't care if you're crippled, whatever. They'll run right over top of you. Doesn't matter. And that's true almost everywhere today. So there's this reminder. There are other people. And like it or not, some of these other people are in our lives. And like it or not, some of these other people are going to cross your path. The path isn't all yours or mine. And when these other people are in our lives, and when these other people cross our paths, we have a responsibility. We have duties toward them. We have services toward them. So these words of Christ here in Matthew 7, verse 12, are an ever-present reminder. Our lives involve others. We have a responsibility toward others. And that there is a right way to treat others. And that we are not the only ones that matter. And that the world does not revolve around us. You know, I don't go back that far, but when I was a kid, you weren't in any danger of thinking the world revolved around you. If you got that idea in your head, it was knocked out of you pretty quick. And we need to be always mindful that the world does not revolve around us, and we need to always be mindful there are others. But in this day when it's commonplace for people to look for ways to manipulate. Well, I've talked to a lot of married couples over the years, and it's unbelievable the manipulation that goes on between a husband and wife. It's pitiful. But here we are in a day when people are looking for ways to manipulate situations, manipulate other people, to dominate other people, to dominate situations, all in order to achieve what they think is good for them or will make them happy at that moment. So here we are in times when many look, it's sad, but if you perform an act of kindness towards someone, it is very probable that someone will look at that as a weakness. Ha-ha! And they will do everything they can to take a despicable advantage of your act of kindness. But that still doesn't change Matthew 7:12. We need to be reminded of the principle of our text in this day in which we live. And we as God's people need to be reminded, because there is a very real danger of being corrupted and infected by this whole spirit of self-indulgence. So we need the reminder. We also see the basis of this injunction in Matthew 7, verse 12. It's seen in the opening word, therefore. Therefore. It's an application word of what has been previously stated. Therefore tells us that what follows the therefore is not a detached statement. It has a connection with something that was said previously. So the opening, therefore, means that what is stated is to be put into everyday practice. It is to be an everyday part of our lives, and that is based upon something. Therefore. What follows is based upon something previously stated. The therefore immediately refers back to what is stated in verses 7 through 11. We're not going to read those verses. But the truth stated in those verses is simply this. God is good. God will not harm His children. God helps His children. God deals bountifully with us. God is gracious. God is merciful toward us. God does not deal with us according to what we deserve. Someone says, well, how do you know that? We're here, aren't we? That's proof enough that God doesn't deal with us as we deserve. God gives us good things in spite of who and what we are. He does not merely look upon us as we are. And oh, how thankful we ought to be. Because if that were so, we would be forever condemned. But He sees us through the eyes of a loving Father. This is what's being taught in verses 7 through 11. And He looks upon us in grace and mercy. What verses 7 through 11 is telling us is how God deals with us. And then you read, therefore. Therefore. Do not merely, therefore, He says in effect, you deal like that with your fellow man as God deals with us. In other words, do not merely see the offensive and the ugly. You better thank God every single day of your life, every moment of your life, that God doesn't just see the offensive and the ugly. Christ says, in effect, look at them as I've looked upon you. Therefore. Verse 12 really is a call to imitate God from what is said in verses 7 through 11. So as you read Matthew 7, verse 12, the precept goes back to what? To God. It goes back to God. I believe that is the biblical principle concerning everything in our lives. Start with God. You can't go wrong there. Start with God. In order for relationships to be right, start with God. Start with God. This is the way to see ourselves correctly. Start with God. This is the way to see others correctly. Start with God. This is how we properly function in our lives. And this is how we properly function with others. Start with God. And that's what that therefore means here. It's referring back to who God is, what God does for us. What He's saying is, start with God. And now starting with God, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do the same for them. So that's the basis. Now let's look at the extent. How far does this go? All things whatsoever. That's pretty extensive. All things. All things. And then He adds whatsoever. That is, all things plus more. All things that you can think of, and then all things you can't think of. All things whatsoever. In other words, you treat others as you would want to be treated in all things whatsoever. Christ is saying, let all your dealings with others be conducted in the same spirit in which you would desire them to deal with you. Do you want to be cheated? No. You don't cheat someone else. Do you want to be taken advantage of? No. You don't take advantage of someone else. Do you want to be treated unkindly? No. So you don't do the same to them, no matter what they do. That's the principle that is being taught. Now tell me that everyone's life wouldn't be better if that were the case. Also, the injunction is personal. Notice in verse 12, the words ye and you. In stating the duty and responsibility, the emphasis is placed on ye and you and not them. The them is not where the emphasis is. The emphasis is on ye and you. So every time we say, but they, you've lost sight. You're going backwards. You're going in the wrong direction. The emphasis is ye and you. Well, what if they? You've lost it again. Ye and you. That's very difficult for us. It's in our nature. But they. Yes, I said something I shouldn't have said. But they. I mean, that's our nature. That's what we do. But it's wrong. The emphasis is on ye and you. In other words, we're not to wait for them to see what they are going to do. We are to take the initiative in this matter. Well, I would if they. Well, you've lost it again. The duty and responsibility stated is not dependent. Read Matthew 7, verse 12. It's not dependent upon them. It is dependent upon ye and you, or us individually. The emphasis is not upon the character of the them. That's nothing is mentioned of their character. Nothing at all. Not a word is said about their character. Not one word. The emphasis upon ye and you. In other words, any failure in this duty, it's not due to them. It's due to me. It's due to you. Well, they shouldn't have. That may be so. But any failure in this duty comes back to ye and you. Also, notice that this precept is something that requires some thought. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you. We each have enough regard for ourselves. We've been created this way to know when kindness is shown to us. More so, we know when an injury or a wrong is done to us. We know what kindness is. We know what an injury or a wrong is. And we must apply that to our own actions toward others. But notice that word should. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you. Does not that word carry the implication of expectation? We expect people to do certain things toward us, to behave in certain ways. It's a word of expectation. You step out, you're going into whatever store, and you step out in front of a car, you expect that person to stop. You expect that. You're standing in line. The person behind you, you're not expecting them to bump into you with your cart and do it 23 times. You're not expecting that. We have expectations toward others. When you walk in the church door, you do not expect someone to slap you. You don't expect that. You expect them to shake your hand. We have expectations. Whatever ye would that men should do to you. So we have expectations of how we should be treated. The problem is, many people's expectations are up here for others and don't even exist for themselves. But what Jesus is saying is, you expect certain treatments, certain behaviors by others toward you. Now you apply those expectations to them. Well, what if? The them is not qualified. It's just them. It's just them. This is something that requires action. Verse 12 again. All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye. The word do, perhaps, is the most important word in the verse. It is present tense. It means keep on doing. You keep on doing to them. No matter what they do, you keep on doing to them what you would want them to do to you. To truly follow Christ, what Christ says, requires that the individual not merely think about what they would like others to do. I mean, you can't just sit at home and think, boy, it would sure be nice. I sure wish so-and-so would call me. I sure wish so-and-so would do this. I mean, you can sit there all day and do that. That's not what the verse says. But whatever you want them to do, you do to them. The doing, of course, must be within the realm of what is pleasing and acceptable to God. It must be in accordance with the will of God. Also, we see the degree and the direction of the action. Do ye even so. Even so. Meaning exactly or precisely so. So the precept is, as you desire what others would do to and for you, do exactly and precisely to and for them. In other words, treat others with the same kindness, the same courtesy, the same consideration that you would receive, that you would desire to receive from them. But notice the direction of the precept. To them. Them. Do even so to them. Them is the object of the action. Again, the emphasis, we are the doer. Again, please notice that there is nothing to qualify the them. It is simply them. What if they're always rude to me? That's not qualified here. It's simply them. Now, let's look at the application. Matthew 7:12 is an extraordinary statement. It's truly a remarkable statement. And many look at those words and think, and correctly so, boy, what those are wonderful words. What a marvelous thought. But you know what? Christ did not speak these words or any other words as far as that goes. just to give you and I something to talk about. Just to give preachers something to comment upon. He didn't speak these words just to give you and I something to think about in our downtime. But he spoke these words that we might carry them out. We might put them into practice in our life. At the end of the sermon, in verses 24 through 27, notice, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. That refers back to everything said in the sermon, including Matthew 7, verse 12. And he said, the one that does these things is like a man who built his house upon a rock. And the storms came, and we know the story, the house stood firm. To neglect these sayings, Matthew 7:12 included, is like a man who builds his house upon the sand. So Matthew 7, verse 12, is to be our life practice. To practice such is to build upon a rock. You take all the books. Take all the good books written upon human relationships. And you notice that there's more books written on human relationships than ever before. And that's because human relationships are in trouble. You know why? Narcissism. And I've got news for you. Unless the book addresses narcissism and tells people what they are, they're not going to help them. But that's another message. But you take all the good books, and there are some good ones, written upon human relationships, and I imagine just about any book written on human relationships, you can find something good in it. Some you may have to dig, but you can find something. And you take all the good books written upon morality, and all the books that deal with the subjects of problems that enter into human relationships, and they can all be reduced to Matthew 7:12. I mean, that pretty much takes care of it all. So all these books that men write, Jesus said it all in one verse. It's pretty much summed up. You realize that many problems between people would never occur if Matthew 7:12 was carried out. And if problems do occur, they would be fixed if Matthew 7:12 was carried out. Matthew 7:12 is a preventative to stealing. Do you want somebody to steal from you? Of course not. Not even the thief wants somebody to steal from him. So Matthew 7:12 is a preventative to stealing. You don't want someone to steal from you, you don't steal from someone else. Matthew 7:12 is a preventative to immorality. It's a preventative to adultery, fornication. Do you want someone to take liberties with your wife or your husband? No, then you don't do it. I mean, it's a preventative to all of these things. It's a preventative to all immorality. It's a preventative to all meanness and all unkindness and all rudeness. It's a preventative to all backbiting. Do you want someone talking about you in a malicious way? No one does. Don't do it. It's a preventative to fault finding. You want someone looking for every one of your faults? No, none of us do. It's a preventative to bitterness. It's a preventative to unforgiveness, and on and on and on we could go. We do not like for people to make our lives difficult. And we do not like for people to bring problems into our lives and constantly cause us to live on the edge. And if you don't like that, then don't do it. to someone else. That's what Matthew 7, verse 12 is saying. You treat them as you desire to be treated. The practice of Matthew 7, verse 12 is how we carry out. Notice Romans 12. We'll just go ahead and take the time here. We'll read quickly. Romans 12, verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. That's Matthew 7, 12. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. That's Matthew 7, verse 12. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. That's Matthew 7, verse 12. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Avenge not yourselves. That's Matthew 7, 12. Notice Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and verse 32. Matthew 4, verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. That's Matthew 7, 12. Be ye kind one to another. That's Matthew 7, 12. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. We're told to put on mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. That's Matthew 7, 12. Matthew 7, verse 12. Is a guiding principle of consistent fairness. It's a guiding principle of, or standard of, kindness and compassion and concern for others. When you're going through a hard time, do you want others to pray for you? Then you pray for them. That's Matthew 7, verse 12. What is stated in Matthew 7, 12, notice, is a summation. After stating the principle, he says, "For this is the law and the prophets." In other words, what is said here embodies in an abridged form the teachings of the laws and the prophets. The law says, thou shalt not kill. The law says, thou shalt not commit adultery. The law says, thou shalt not steal, etc. And it's all summed up in Matthew 7, verse 12. Notice Matthew 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. That's Matthew 7, 12. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's all summarized in Matthew 7, verse 12. In Matthew 22, 36, a lawyer came to Christ asking, which is the great commandment of the law? In other words, Lord, what's the most important one? That very question seems to imply, you tell me what's the most important one, that's the one I'll work on. And Jesus answered, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. But then he expounded upon his answer. Verse 39 and 40 of Matthew 23, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's Matthew 7:12. And then he said, on these two, love God, love your neighbor, hang all the law and the prophets. So it's all illustrated in Matthew 7, verse 12. Now imagine a home. Imagine a church, a community, a nation, where everyone followed Matthew 7:12. We can't even imagine it. We haven't experienced a day like that, where the whole day went that way. Can't even imagine how wonderful it would be. And everybody would agree. Well, it would be wonderful. But the truth is this. What is taught here goes against the very fiber of our depraved nature. It goes against us. And that's sad. So we must ask, how is it possible for me to implement Matthew 7:12 in my life? How is it even possible? How can our attitude and our conduct ever conform to what the Lord says in Matthew 7:12? The answer, as we said earlier, really goes back to therefore. You've got to start with God. You've got to start with God. Knowing how contrary Matthew 7:12 is to our nature. I mean, Matthew 7:12 is contrary to our nature, even to those we love, let alone the ones we don't like. Someone will say, well, you're supposed to like everyone. Tell me that you do that. So Matthew 7:12 is in our nature. It's very difficult to the people we love the most, let alone those we don't know and don't even care to be around. So knowing that it is contrary and knowing what a struggle it is, I mean, is there anyone, I mean, you stand and say it right now, is there anyone who does not struggle with practicing Matthew 7:12? Is there anyone who's never struggled with Matthew 7:12, practicing it? It's a struggle. Someone comes up, gets in your face, and curses you. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. Someone almost runs you over with their car. It's a struggle. Someone gets out of their car and bangs their car door into yours. That's a struggle. It's a struggle. It goes against the fiber of our being. It's difficult to carry out. So what do we need to do? We need to start with God. Because every day, more than likely, unless you're sick in bed, you're going to run across someone who's rude. You may run across somebody that's more rude than you are. That's how it is with a lot of people. We need to be praying for God's constant reminding of this precept. There are others. This path is not just mine. This road is not just mine. This sidewalk is not just mine. There are others. I have a responsibility to them. And God, you've got to help me. You've got to enable me to do this. That takes us back to Matthew 22. We don't have time, but Matthew 22, the verses we just referred to, verse 36, 39, was the great commandment. And where did he begin? God. The first and great commandment is love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then from there he went to who? Your neighbor. You don't begin with them. You don't even begin with you. You begin with God. That is our only hope of living Matthew 7, verse 12. You start with God. You start with God every single day. And when a challenging person comes into your life and it's a struggle to be kind, you need to go back to God. God, help me. God, help me. Many, many, many times I've prayed, Lord, shut my mouth. Shut it right now because I'm about to go off. Shut my mouth right now. And praise the Lord, he does. He just shuts it down. We need to do that. We need to pray, Lord, I can't treat this person the way you expect me to right now. So God, you're going to have to help me. Read Matthew 7, verse 12. Read it over and over. It means what it says. And we can bring in a lot of what ifs. But Matthew 7, verse 12 doesn't. And there are a lot of what ifs that we could spend some time on, and yes, there are situations where it may be necessary to kill someone. The Bible speaks of those too, but we don't have the time for all of that. But the general principle is laid out here. So, oh, may we seek God's help that this would be a rule in our daily lives. That this would be a rule in Home Baptist Church. That we would seek strength from God to apply His teaching to our lives and to the people that are in our lives. The people that are in our lives, God has put them there. Some of them, they're just so easy to get along with. No problems whatsoever. Others, just the opposite. They walk in a room and you get mad. Believe it or not, we are that person in some other person's life. But whatever people are in our lives, Matthew 7:12 is to be practiced. Whoever they are. Might have a contrary neighbor, Matthew 7:12. May run a business, you may have the most ornery customer on the planet, Matthew 7:12. May go into a business, do business, Matthew 7:12. We need to always be thinking of Matthew 7:12 and how much better our lives would be. Brother Larry, if you'd come and